All right, so we start a new sermon series for the summer called Summer Stories. We are going to look at the parables of Jesus. If you would, grab a Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 13. And while you are doing that, I would like to tell you a story. There's an old church, very old church. It's been there for well over a century. It's a large church in the heart of the Texas panhandle. The church building is so old, they don't have air conditioning. But in the Texas panhandle, there's always a breeze blowing. So they just prefer to worship with the windows open. And as this wind blows through, it just reminds them that the Spirit of God is with them. But there's something unique about this church. There was a man who pulled into the church and parking lot every Sunday morning. Same time, same car, same guy. He sat in the parking lot with the engine running. The windows are always rolled up. He appreciated air conditioning, unlike his church-going friends. The service had already started, but he stayed in the lot, watching the people go inside the building. One Sunday morning, someone tapped on the window and said, "Hey, are you coming in?" Well, he just smiled and said, "I'm good out here. I can hear the music from here." Another week, a little girl pecked on the glass and said, "They're saving a seat just for you." And he smiled and kind of chuckled politely and said, "Maybe next time." And that happened for week after week, month after month, even year after year. The man drove into the church parking lot, same parking space, same car, same guy, but he never went in. He kept coming every Sunday. The car idling, the sermon muffled, the windows are fogged up. He said it gave him peace. He said it made him feel connected. One Sunday morning when services were over, the minister was leaving, and he was the last car in the parking lot. So the minister wandered over and tried to stir up a conversation, inviting him to lunch, and said, "Why don't you come in and join our worship service?" And the man politely refused and said, "No, I'm a God-fearing man. I believe in Jesus, but I'm good right here." Eventually, the whole congregation knew him as the faithful man. Always there, they said. And no one seemed to notice that he never opened the door and came in. Jesus told stories like that. Stories that catch you off guard. Stories that don't hand you the answer on a silver platter. It kind of leave you scratching your head. Stories that kind of sift the crowd, not by who's clever, but by who is hungry. And so today we begin our summer series on the parables of Jesus. And we're not starting with a parable, but with a question. Why did Jesus teach that way? Why did Jesus choose to tell parables? What seemed to many to be riddles, puzzles that they couldn't quite figure out, that were confusing. And people would often say to Jesus, you just cause confusion among the listeners. Why don't you just tell more direct, clearer stories? In fact, that's exactly what the disciples asked him in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. So let's read. Jesus has just told the parable of the sower, and the disciples come to him in verse 10 and say, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Well, he answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing, they do not perceive, and hearing, they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them, indeed, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's hearts has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes or listen with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So, again, Jesus had just finished telling the parable of the sower to the crowd. No explanation, no application. It's just a story about a sower, some seed, and some soil. And the disciples come to him, and they're like, Jesus, what was that? You didn't finish the story. You didn't tell them what it meant. You didn't tell them, you know, you didn't give them 3 points of how to make application to their lives and how to go out and live it in the world. And they're not being snarky. They're being honest. They don't understand what Jesus is doing. They're saying they're saying what some of us have actually felt. Jesus, why aren't you just more direct? I'm so confused. Why don't you just say what you mean and mean what you say? Besides that, you'll reach more people, right? You're letting people walk away. People that you could be pulling into the church, pulling into the kingdom, making disciples out of them. Maybe Jesus, if he just improved your communication skills, maybe Jesus needs a class in homiletics, which is a class on how to prepare and write sermons. And what Jesus says next is shocking. Look at verse 11. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. And just like that, Jesus tells us something we don't expect. You see, parables aren't just illustrations. It's not that Jesus needs to tell a story to make his point or to illustrate his point. The story is the point in and of itself. And Jesus doesn't tell these stories well because in every good sermon, there is at least a story and a poem. Sorry, I don't have a poem for you this morning. Or you don't just tell a story because you can tell that the crowd is slowly falling asleep. You've been laying on them some pretty heavy theology and logic, and you need to wake them up again. So you tell a story that grabs their attention and pulls them back in. No, that's not why Jesus tells parables. Parables actually act as filters. They're revelation and judgment in the same breath. They reveal to those who come close, and they conceal from those who don't want to see, who make the decision they don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. Jesus isn't hiding the truth to be cruel. He's revealing it to protect it from contempt. And here's what he's really doing. He's doing it to test the posture of the heart of those who hear. Now, Jesus quotes from the Old Testament. And when his audience heard from Isaiah 6, they were very familiar with this passage. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. We're more familiar with the passage because it's the great scene of Isaiah being pulled up into heaven and seeing the throne room of God and the angels, seraphim, flying around. And that story grabs our attention. It gives us a peek behind the curtain to see what's going on in the spiritual realm, and we love that. Maybe we read that and we stop. But after Isaiah hears that, he hears a question, or sees that, he hears a question. I need somebody to go out and to preach. And Isaiah said, here, send me, I'll go. I wondered if he changed his mind after he was told what he was supposed to say. Sometimes I wonder with some little doubt, because after God says, I want you to go out and say this, he goes, for how long? How long am I going to have to preach this message? He says, you will hear, but never understand. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Isaiah had been called to preach to people who had already decided they didn't want to hear. Now, this isn't original to me, but I think it's a valid point. It's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. But it is God's prerogative to challenge my ideas. It is God's prerogative to change the way I see things. It is God's prerogative to correct my thinking. And that's exactly what Isaiah is sent to do. Because there was corruption in the time of Isaiah. If you go back to the book of Isaiah, God is very clear right out at the beginning. The main problem that Isaiah is preaching about is that the people were practicing religion without righteousness. They were coming and joining one another at the temple to worship God, but there was injustice in the streets. They came, they sang the songs, but their hearts were so hard. They wanted blessing without repentance, religion without justice, God's name without God's ways. And so Isaiah steps in, and he doesn't mince any words. Right off the get-go in Isaiah chapter 1, condemns them, charges them would be a better word, of worshiping God but not being concerned with the state of the world. He says in verse 16 of chapter 1, "Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow." And Isaiah is given a daunting task. Because in Isaiah's day, there was political and government corruption afoot. Laws were being made that benefited the wealthy and hurt the vulnerable and the poor. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1, he says, "All you who make iniquitous decrees, who write oppressive laws, to turn aside the needy from justice and to rob the poor of my people of their rights, that widows may be your spoil and that you may make the orphans your prey." You can sing all you want. But unless you stand with the oppressed, unless you stand with the vulnerable, God does not hear your songs. He does not hear your prayers. And that's the crux of Isaiah's preaching. That's what he's all about. But here's the thing. It wouldn't soften them. It would expose them. It would prove they've already stopped listening. And Jesus quotes that passage from Isaiah because he is saying that the same thing is happening all over again. See, Jesus did not invent the parables. The prophets used symbolic stories, riddles, and visions all the time. As a matter of fact, Isaiah walks around for 3 years, barefoot and naked, preaching about the destruction and the judgment that's coming upon God's people and the nations, primarily Assyria. He's warning them and doing it in a stark way. Ezekiel builds a little replica of Jerusalem, and then he destroys it to show what God is going to do. But Jesus used parables to confront the system from within. He told stories that confused the proud but compelled the humble. It's like he dropped a line here. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And then he'd walk away. Some people would say, what does that even mean? How can the kingdom of God be like a mustard seed? But others, especially the broken, the hungry, desperate, they would stay. They'd follow Jesus a little further, maybe into a house or up on a hillside, and they'd say, "Tell us more. Explain it to us." And he would. Because the secrets of the kingdom are for those who want the king. We need to ask the question, what's really at stake? You see, you can be around Jesus, you can be near Jesus, you can even be impressed by Jesus, and you can still miss the kingdom of God completely. Just like the man sitting in the car, he could hear the music, He could even hear portions of the sermon. He watched the people. He was present, but he was not participating. And friends, that's the terrifying truth of Matthew 13. There are people who hear sermon after sermon, read scripture after scripture, and still don't see. It's not that they're incapable. It's because they're unwilling. Jesus said these people's heart have become calloused. He doesn't say they were born blind. He says they have, of their own volition, closed their eyes. And you're thinking, well, this is an awful, depressing, and dark way to start a new sermon series. Man, I can't wait to hear the next sermon. It gets better, I promise. But it gets better before we even end this sermon, because Jesus turns to his disciples and he blesses them. In verse 16, he says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." What is it that they see? Well, they see that the kingdom of God is coming. They see that the kingdom is coming and not the way that they expected it. Not the way they would have scripted it. But they're humble and contrite enough to let God speak and tell them new things. They're willing to lean in. They ask. They stay. And Jesus isn't playing favorites here. He's rewarding hunger, curiosity. The parables don't confuse the hungry. They form them. The kingdom isn't for the clever. It's for the curious. It is for the childlike, those contrite in heart. And this is where we're going to spend the summer, listening to these stories. Not cute stories, not bedtime stories, but revolutionary, subversive, kingdom stories. Now, I need to tell you up front, you will not always be comfortable, because the parables of Jesus will confront your assumptions. They will disturb your categories. They will not always make sense the first time you hear them. And that's the point. God wants you to wrestle with it. He wants you to be challenged. Well, I know what that means, I think. Let me listen to that again. What's he really saying? The parables are valuable because they're worth your wrestling with. The parables are the doorway to seeing the world the way Jesus sees it. And that's what's exciting to me about the parables. Jesus says, this is the way the world ought to be. This is how I see it. And this is the way it can be and will be. And you get to participate in that. They are stories of grace and mirrors of the soul. And here's what they really do. They separate the fans who use Jesus as a mascot from those who are followers who call him master. And are willing to follow him no matter what he says. So I ask you, how hungry are you? Will you lean in? Will you let Jesus confuse you, challenge you, even undo you so that he can reshape you? Or will you keep the engine running with the windows fogged up? Close enough to listen, but not close enough to be changed. Because that's what Jesus is trying to do. He wants to renew our minds, transform our hearts. The secrets of the kingdom are not locked behind intellect. Friends, they're hidden in plain sight, waiting to be discovered by the humble and the hungry, the ones who dare to ask, Jesus, what did you mean by that? And when he gives an answer, we refuse to say, well, that can't be right. We listen. We watch. We keep our eyes and our ears open, knowing that God loves us. And the only time he would ever undo us is so he can remake us. So, if that's you, you're right where he wants you. So let the stories begin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that too often we've sat near your presence but refused to enter in. Lord, we've heard your word without truly listening. We've seen glimpses of your kingdom, but we've clung to our own comfort, our own conclusions, refusing to be challenged, corrected, and remade. So today, Father, we ask, open our eyes where we've chosen blindness. Lord, soften our hearts if they've grown callous. Give us ears that hunger to hear, not just what we want to hear, but what you are truly saying. Father, please, let us not be people who stay parked at the edge of grace. Draw us in. Make us teachable, hungry, make us new. And as we follow your Son through the stories that he told, may we be among those who see, who hear, and who understand. And most importantly, may we be among those who turn so that we can be healed. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would please stand. May the God who still speaks give you eyes that truly see, ears that are eager to hear, and a heart willing to follow wherever Jesus leads. May you never grow so familiar with the voice of Jesus that you stop being changed by it. And may the stories of the kingdom reshape your vision until you walk not by sight, but by faith, not by comfort, but by the call of Christ. My friends, go in peace. Go in humility. Go with hunger. And may you never settle for the parking lot when Jesus is calling you to the table. Amen. Let's sing.